The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Hi, Farrell on the bench with you. So is there anything worse? I'm starting to think of things that are worse than this. And there's nothing to be found. Is that when they keep talking to the baseball people every day about like baseball, when there's nothing to talk about with baseball? Is there anything worse? Then when they talk about just nothing at all and they just keep doing it every day, they just keep talking baseball with the baseball reporters that have nothing to say at all ever about anything. They're just like, for 3 months, the sides are arguing, the owners refuse, the Players Association money in the green and fighting over television revenue, dollars and billions of, and then fighting and blah, 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 blah. And then they finally agree to play baseball, and then they keep interviewing him. What are they going to do? Well, we're going to wait until they do something. We're going to talk about them doing nothing for another month until they finally do something. But I'm going to report and I'm going to wear a suit and tie when I report nothing to you every day and somehow explain my paycheck when I'm talking about nothing. And I just want you to know there's very little to report right now because there's nothing to say. But I'm here to tell you. I'm here to inform you of absolutely nothing. And I'm good at it. Today we're going to talk about baseball at great length, even if it's in Asia. They'll talk about it. I watched there was some kind of story on television tonight on ESPN. Did you see it about the Japanese high school team or something, like the 20 best players in the world or something that play on this elite A team of this old coach that's coached for like 30 years and he's real demanding and they put him through this grueling audition and tryout and then they select 20 of them, and then the rest of them want to kill themselves when they don't get in. I'm here to report on the story of the people that you've never heard of and what's going on with them. I'm here to tell you there's absolutely nothing to say. I cannot speak the language.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. we can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be reporting every day on nothing. We will tell you that tomorrow and the day after we'll report at least several players will back out of baseball this year because of concerns over their families or their wives or having babies. They will not play baseball. We had another one tonight, didn't we, Carver High? And then I think I just saw another one tonight. It's not going. Didn't you just
Ian Desmond of the Rockies is not going to play. He actually had several reasons. He listed off a lot of things. It's actually very much worth going to check out the post that he wrote up. He talked about things like there's a racism problem in baseball. He had a lot of things that to say that the game needs to change. But then he also said at the end, you know, I got a wife, a pregnant wife, and four kids at home. For me, best thing right now is to stay with them. So Ian Desmond of the Rockies also not going to play in this 60-game season for them.
So he's out. And then you said today Sticky Fingers is out.
Well, Mike Sticky Fingers Leak is not going to play for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You don't have Zimmerman and Ross for the Nationals. So those are four guys so far that have said.
We'll be reporting over the next several days. Multiple players will be backing out of the bubble of the various baseball bubbles that everyone will be living in.
Maybe they can go find a couple of people to play for the Nets. The Nets could use a couple guys. If anybody's got game, even you, you might as well go across a couple rivers. Go by the Net facility. See if they need somebody to go down low and put a couple minutes in on the blocks. I mean, they need somebody down there right now.
They've lost Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan tonight to the COVID. So, and they already have no Kyrie and no KD. And now you have no Spencer Dinwiddie, who's the best player.
Wilson Chandler said no, too. Didn't Wilson Chandler say today he ain't playing either?
Wilson Chandler's not playing as well. I wanted to say that, speaking of bad players, speaking of hacks, both Chandler and DeAndre Jordan are both not going to play. What a great loss that'll be for everyone to not have to watch them shoot five-footers. I mean, they can't even make them, let alone shoot them. So it's bad enough. I get it. Jordan rebounds, alley-oop dunks, gets fouled a lot, goes to the line, misses free throws. Is that about the gist of it? So Dinwiddie's a different story altogether. He's like their pure player scorer on the team, right? Is he not? He and LeVert are the two best players on the team. Is that about fair to say? I mean, when Kyrie and KD aren't playing, right? There you go. So Carver High agrees. It is what it is. They're not playing now. And you know Dinwiddie and Jordan aren't going to play now. What are they going to have, COVID, and then in 2 weeks go play basketball? They're going to.
I mean, Dinwiddie kind of left the door open. I mean, he didn't flat out say, I think that Dinwiddie, as opposed to Jordan kind of sounds like, you know, sorry, see you later. I'm out. But Dinwiddie kind of made it sound like, you know, I'm going to take the 2 weeks and I'm going to, you know, there's still a month. They still got a month before they actually play.
Right.
You know,
Dinwiddie like
can go, didn't do it. Dinwiddie can go quarantine for 2 weeks. Right. And then they can test him again. And if he's all clear, can he start showing up to practice again and start, you know, he still would have 2 weeks to get ready. Wouldn't he?
Do you think people will start treating him like, you're not going to bring that dude around, are you? Because I don't want nothing to do with him. Can we eat in a different room than him? Do you think they're going to have some of that going? Do you remember when Magic came back when he had the HIV and the way they treated him? We don't have to play with him, do we? Do you remember?
He's not on
they
our
did
team,
do
right?
That. They did. Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah,
wait,
absolutely.
Remember he played and then they were like, oh, wait, he's bleeding. What's up? We're not going near that. Do you remember how it was so It was crazy back then. Like, I was in the throes of it. I remember when it happened, I was on the air at Westwood One in LA when all that was happening, right? And that was crazy times. Now, this is just as crazy, right? People are like, yo, your boy's over here sneezing a goblet. Like, Mafia sneezed on the air the other night or something. Were you on the show? Was that on Coast to Coast when he did it and I started making fun of him? Like, what was that
no,
about?
I think that must have been you and him on one of these.
Okay, well, one night, you know, right? How I am. But do you know how I am with making fun of Mafia in the car when he sneezes when we drive, right? Do you remember all the years of doing the show? Every time the guy sneezes in the car, like, I go into, like, this whole sticking my head out the window thing to – I'm ready to wreck the car. I'm ready to go right off the shoulder into a ravine, into a river, and, like, kill myself based on his sneezing. Like, and he said to me the other day on the air, he said that he mows his own yard, and that's why he gets like all kinds of grass and pollen and all this other stuff up his nose. And I'm like, listen, dude, I got way worse things I put up my nose over the years. Don't tell me that you're mowing your yard is making you sneeze like all the time. So my point is, I always ride Mafia jokingly when he sneezes. He sneezes all the time, right? He's like always sneezing. He'll deny it and say he doesn't sneeze. Carver, you know he sneezes.
There was a lot of times. No, he definitely sneezed a lot. I used to be in the box with him every night. When we were at the old place, so
he sneezed quite a bit there. Into his shirt, right, he'll sneeze into his shirt like this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right into his shirt, but you know what? It goes right through the shirt and just sprays all across the room. That shirt thing doesn't work for me. Like, he's wearing like an Affliction shirt and he sneezes into it. Here's what happens: boom, right through it. It's just like a cloud of like what was that? Agent Orange. Yeah. So, like, I give him the business. Here's what I would do if I were on a team right now and your boy, they sent your boy down to the morning shoot around and be like, yo, can we get that dude his own shooting room? I'd be like, yo, dude, those ice creams are for us. You got to get yours from the truck. Your boy will be here about 4 o'clock. The dude with the bells and whistles. He'll be here with ice cream. He comes through every day around 4. Don't touch my ice cream machine, bro. Come on. You got that Honda. I don't want to be around any player. Yo, DeAndre, how you feeling? Oh, I'm getting a little bit better. Yeah. Hey, coach. Can we shoot free throws at the other end? Coach. Yo. Are we on that? Is there 2 buses tonight? Because I just want to go back to the resort hotel. Is there a shuttle? I'm not going on the team bus. Your boy's back there. excuse me. I've been fine. I just got out of quarantine yesterday. Oh. Ow. Everything's fine. I just mow my yard a lot. Ouch. There's nothing worse. I get, obviously, just like everybody else, like, I get sick, but, I'll get sick once or something a year or twice maximum or whatever it is. And then you remember the shows I would do would be fantastic because I'd be so miserable. I'd be such a D on the air when I was sick or whatever. But I'm not a fan, Carver High, of like getting on airplanes and like just even in normal times, right? Like,
I can't even imagine you going anywhere near an airplane right now. No shot.
No way. Do you remember the day, like I told you the story of the lady that sneezed the entire flight in first class, sneezed from Las Vegas all the way to New York? And I was like, man, what is wrong with you? I mean, I was like, seriously, like, who in their right mind sneezes like 7,000 times in 4.5 hours? Like, how much blow can you do before you just are like, yo, I'm not going to get on this plane today because I'm sneezing my ass off and coughing and sneezing on everyone. And then no mask, no nothing. I sat there. Do you remember the story? I sat there. So I had this one mask in my bag from like 34 seat gave it to me. She's like, if you're ever in an emergency, put this mask on. I was like, so I reach in the bag, I grab this thing, and it's missing the rope, right? So it didn't have a rope. It had one rope. Imagine the thing just hanging off of my face. So I had to hold it. So I held it for 5 hours on the side of my head. And I put coat over my head, like a pillow over my head. Wouldn't have to look at this lady.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so Pharrell on the bench. Chris Price has been on the bench before, and I think like a year ago, he took over his gig at the Boston Globe, and it's good to get him back on with everything going on today. I think he said before on this show that he could beat Jim McBride's ass. I think he did say that once. But I don't know if we could elaborate on that tonight if he really wants to go there again. Chris, how you doing, buddy? Hope everything's all right up there.
You know, I could beat McBride's ass, but I think he'd fight dirty. That'd be my concern.
I believe
he's
that.
He's a tough guy. He's a tough dude.
How is that job treating you up there? Do you like it? Like, I think, you know, last year, didn't you get, like, a whole new gig out of it? Like, they gave you aren't you, like, running all kinds of things for them? Like, the web, the Boston Globe on the web, everything else. Like, at night, you're running the desk. I mean, you're a busy dude up there. Do you like it?
I love it, man. It's a great crew. I'm working with some really amazing people, including McBride. I'm working a lot of nighttime shifts. I'm coordinating the web. I'm coordinating primarily football coverage, digital football coverage, but I'm getting some writing in, doing a bunch of stuff, man. It's a lot of fun. It's a blast.
I'm glad it's working out. So when I saw today, when everything went down, I thought to myself, I wonder what they're saying in Boston. And I know I was, you know, you guys have so many great writers, like you talk about Shaughnessy and McBride and everybody, Volin, yourself, everyone writing all these stories today. What was your synopsis of the day in Globe sports writers covering this angle of this guy signing with the Pats?
Everyone's fired up about it. I think not only, you know, us in the Globe sports department, but I think fans, you know, Patriots fans everywhere are fired up about this thing. Look, this has been an off season in a lot of ways that's been dominated by, you know, the departure of Tom Brady and the loss of Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, to be able to have this team land a former MVP, you know, he may or may not be at that same level going into 2020. I think people here are pretty excited about the possibility of what could happen, you know, when you're talking about the post-Tom Brady era. The one question I do have that I'm still thinking about, and I'd love to get your take on this, is whether or not you're seeing Newton deliver basically a one-year audition for the Patriots, and then he goes back into the market as a, you know, as a free agent and kind of, you know, audition for the rest of the league, or are we looking at the guy, you know, the post Tom Brady guy? I'm going to be fascinated to see how all that plays out, man.
Yeah, I think for sure, Chris, that this guy has an opportunity, you know, if healthy, to seize the moment and the day in, you know, certainly one of the best organizations in the entire league, whether people like it or not. People everywhere get all worked up about the Patriots, whether it's blaming him for, you know, Belichick for cheating, everything else. People go crazy about the Patriots. But what they've done is for the last couple of decades, they've had to deal with their dominance, their dynasty, their winning, their title games, their Super Bowls. They've been unavoidable. And just when you think that it's time to get some relief from that on a national scale, certainly not in Boston, but nationally, there's got to be some relief that they're like, finally, Tom Brady's not with the Patriots anymore. He's moved on to Tampa. We don't have to worry about the Patriots anymore. And then, boom, the story hits. And it's like, how do you like me now? Because I think the guy, if healthy, is a very dangerous commodity. I think the guy, you know, I've said this over and over, the shoulder tear and the broken foot, it is what it is. You play in the NFL, guys do this all the time, but they act like, frankly, they've acted like Cam Newton died or something. The guy was injured, but they treat him like he's dead. Then he couldn't get a job. It's an insult that that guy doesn't have a job. There are so many hacks in the NFL. You couldn't disagree with that, Chris.
No, I hear you. The thing is, though, Scotty, is I think he was the guy who was the most impacted or has been the most impacted by COVID-19. He's been in a bit of a limbo as a free agent. You know, guys weren't sure what his situation was coming out of the Panthers, where he wanted to go. COVID hits, everything kind of shuts down. And so he's left in a bit of a holding pattern. Well, the convergence of events is timed very nicely here for the Patriots. But one question I do have, and you bring this up, I wonder how healthy he is, because I know there's all sorts of new protocols in place. I don't know how much of a, you know, a real physical they've given him when you're talking about the shoulder and the foot. I will say this, the guy's been really durable, you know, over the start of his career. Last couple of years, not so much. I want to know where he is physically. But like you said, if he's good physically, if he can play, if he's anywhere near where he was a couple of years ago, Patriots have got themselves a real find here.
I think the guy actually had, I said this today on my show in the afternoon on the TV side. I said that I think the guy's like a snake in the weeds. I think he's literally just like, you better not step here, because I'm gonna strike. And this guy, in my opinion, people have been saying, oh, he sucks. He's all beat up. He's finished. That guy's arm shot. Didn't you see him throw the ball? He can't even throw the ball 20 yards. He can't throw across his body anymore. He can't run. He broke his foot. That guy's finished. And then he's off like over here, like working on a new hairdo, a new fashion. I'm sure he's got it all laid out. He's probably got like 9 outfits on his bed right now. And he's got like 20 different hats he's going to start rocking. And then he's going to come out and he's going to be just throwing these seamless, like fire spitball passes in camp. And then I think that when they see him take off running and they say, oh my God, he's really not that old. His bone healed in his foot. And oh my God, can you even believe it? Look how fast he is. Oh, I forgot how big he is when he walks out onto the field and he has his Superman cape on. People forget what kind of a badass this guy was. They act like he's dead. It's true, yeah. Chris.
Yeah. You know, I want to see, and you bring up the running aspect of it. Look, I think this team is really going to pound the ball in 2020. When you look at Newton and you look at the body of his work as a running quarterback, first time the Patriots have had a real mobile quarterback, a real running quarterback since Steve Grogan back in the late 70s, early 80s. You get him, you get a healthy Sony Michel, you get James White, you get Rex Burkhead, you get Damian Harris, the kid that got out of Alabama a couple years ago who didn't play it almost at all last year. You have a really deep backfield. You have that group able to run the ball, able to move the ball on the ground consistently. That's where I think the strength of this Patriots team is going to be in 2020. They're going to be able to run the football. They're going to be able to play tough physical football, control the clock with that good defense. It's going to be really interesting to see where this team is on offense, particularly when you talk about year one of the post-Tom Brady era.
Can you imagine if he ends up playing well? And like, what's going to happen to his career? It's going to go from the mountaintop where he went to the Super Bowl and then lost his mind because he was immature and young and stupid, right? Fair enough. And he had a meltdown after the game. And then people started talking bad about him and he's this horrible person and they attacked him and everyone did. Everyone did. I probably did. Everyone, like, because, you know, when he acted like a tool after losing, everyone had something to say about it and it really did damage to him. And then I think he probably got real standoffish with with everyone, the media, with fans, everything. He just was like, you know what? All you people were on your knees for me when I got us here. We were 15 wins. And then I have a bad day and I freak out and lose my mind a little bit. And now y'all hate me. You hate my guts. And then he became impossible and unapproachable. Right. And now he's got a chance to come back and haunt everyone. Like, if I were him, I'd be licking my chops.
One of the great things, and you could draw a line between the two, even though one was drafted first overall and one was drafted 199th, it's clear that both Brady and Newton have a chip on their shoulder. And it's one of the things that separates them from the rest of the field. Obviously, here in New England, we've heard about it for almost the last 20 years about how Brady was motivated about being the 199th pick overall, six quarterbacks taken in front of him. All those people overlooked him on the way to six Super Bowl rings and, you know, multiple MVPs. Well, Newton's got the same kind of vibe, man. It's clear, you know, you watch his video tonight that he put out on social media. It's clear that this is a guy who still has a chip on his shoulder. It's clear that this is a guy who feels disrespected. The stuff you brought up before, this is a guy who, you know, a lot of people overlooked. And some of it was, you know, timing, like I said, but also, you know, you have to believe that there's some people out there who believe that he is not half the quarterback that he used to be. Again, if he, this is a guy who can play like he did in 2015, if he can play like he did when he worked with Norv Turner a couple of years ago, that's the kind of guy that the Patriots would love to get. Again, this team is going to run the football. This team is going to be a really good team when it comes to moving the ball on the ground, and Newton's going to be a huge part of that. That's not to dismiss the guys, you know, the Julian Edelmans and the Keel Harries and the Mohammed Sanus, what they're capable of bringing to the table in 2020. But this team looks really good when it comes to moving the ball on the ground this year.
Chris Price with the Boston Globe with us. The guy, obviously, I think you bring up a great point. When he was playing under Norv, wasn't he like 6-2 under Norv and then got hurt? Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, he sucks. He sucks. He's a wussy. Yeah. He can't take it anymore. Meanwhile, it's so funny how they, frankly, how the media fans, the world interprets injuries. Like, you know, with some guys, it's like, oh, how unfortunate. He's injured. And he's going to be out a few games, and hopefully they'll get him back late, you know, as quickly as possible. And then with other guys, they get injured. People are like, man, does he suck? His career's over. He's finished. What a hack. Can you remember when that guy was good? What a bum. He's not worth anything anymore. It's unbelievable because this is the NFL pain day. Guys get injured every single day in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I am not writing off this guy. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris about the rest of his football team, their reaction to it, and how they're going to handle it. Now they've got this quarterback, how Stidham's going to handle it, Hoyer, how the OC, McDaniels, everybody on the bench. All right, Perel on the bench. Chris Price with the Boston Globe, back on the mahogany, waxing up, talking about Cam Newton. So what was the reaction from, like, in your view of, like, because, like, the team had this, you know, people are already writing him off without Brady. They were already, like, the Bills are going to win the East. Everybody's talking about everybody but the Patriots anymore. And then suddenly, everybody thought, oh, look, they're being fined for the Bengals taping today. And then all of a sudden, this thing hit like a tsunami on a beach, the Cam Newton signing. And you knew at some point it was inevitable, right, that this guy was going to get a job somewhere. I actually thought, Chris, he'd get one when someone got injured down the road a little bit, and he they'd be forced to give him a deal, and he'd end up getting a good deal out of it. But this is a situation where he has to look at it like, I can't blow this opportunity. I want to win him over, and I want to get a deal from these people. I want to play for Belichick. He's a living legend. I want to play for Kraft. He's the best owner in the NFL. Whether people believe that or not, it doesn't matter what he did in Florida. People still think in circles that he's, you know, players think he's the best owner in the league. And Jerry Jones, they yeah. buy in on Jones too because of the yachts and the money, and Kraft's got that reputation. What do you think the players' reaction was, and everyone's reaction, and his, that he's got this opportunity? I'm sure he doesn't want to blow it. He wouldn't have signed on the dotted line if he thought he was going to screw it up.
They loved it. They loved it. You know, between, you know, Devin and Jason McCourty have a podcast up here, and they were talking last night. They went on literally, you know, hours after it happened, and they were ecstatic about it. You saw a bunch of guys on social media, you know, it's nothing but good things that we've heard, at least up here so far. It's really interesting, though. At the same time, you bring up the fact that a lot of people kind of written them off. There are multiple people up here who I guess have been in contact with Julian Edelman, and Edelman is, you know, saying, you know, fine, sure, bet against this, man. This whole team is now positioned to come at it like kind of the old school Patriots used to. You know, the 2001, 2003, 2004 Patriots, the whole idea of bet against this, the whole idea of, you know, fine, don't believe in us. You know, they don't think that we're anything now that Brady's left, now that Gronkowski is left, now that all these guys have departed in free agency. Fine, you know, go ahead, think that way. We're going to prove you wrong. So I think we're going to see a little bit of the old school Patriots mentality kind of seep in this year when you're talking about the way they're going to approach this team. But across the board, Scotty, ultimately to answer your question, everyone seems really excited about this, not just the players, the fan base up here. It's one of those things where, like I said before, it's a jolt of electricity in an off season, at least so far, that's been marked by personnel losses.
No doubt. Do you think that as journalists, as that cover the team and the sport, and let's say, you know, obviously the Globe, how far is Brady going to be from your pens? Like, in other words, is this going to be about Cam Newton and the Patriots in, you know, Foxborough playing for Boston, or are you guys still going to put Tom Brady first, even though he's gone?
You know, I wouldn't say we're going to put Tom Brady first, but Tom Brady still moves the needle up here. Some of our best read stories this offseason have been Brady, whether it's, you know, Brady checking out his new uniform or Brady working with his new receivers in Tampa. Of course, all that is before the Newton news broke last night. But at the same time, Tom Brady still interests an awful lot of people up here. And I think we're going to see, as the season goes on, that's going to drop off a little bit. Obviously, it's probably going to drop off, you know, starting this week with Cam Newton's arrival. But I do think that's going to lessen a little bit. I also don't think it's a complete coincidence that I think it's only once or twice this year where the Patriots and the Bucks are scheduled within the same TV window, because I don't think that they want, you know, New England eyeballs keeping an eye on what's going on, you know, keeping an eye on, you know, the Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, as opposed to maybe, you know, what's going on up here in New England. So it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fascinating to see the way it all plays out. But really, Brady is still going to be part of the story if you're a New England fan talking about the 2020 season.
How hard of a job is that to follow, you know, Tom Brady for Cam Newton, just as anyone, like trying to replace Red Auerbach or trying to, you know, replace Bob Knight or, you know, someone, Woody Hayes, you know, Bo Schembechler? How hard of a job is that, honestly, on the face of the earth, to replace Tom Brady and to think that you could actually, like, do that? It's like, is it not impossible?
It, on the surface, it is. And I think that's one of the reasons why maybe that, look, even if it's just this year or, you know, a 2-year deal or whatever length of time he ends up spending in New England, they wanted to have a veteran do it as opposed to a younger guy like Jared right. Stidham, a guy who's been to, you know, a guy who's played a lot of years in the NFL, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl, a veteran, you know, someone who might be a little bit better equipped to handle the mental pressure of, you know, playing quarterback and being the guy, as you mentioned, to follow Tom Brady. But look, it's a completely, you know, I don't want to say it's a completely unique position, but like you said, I mean, it's like, you know, following a legend, and it's going to be an issue. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be something that he's going to have to live with. You know, the closest analogy that I can give you up here in New England, you know, off the top of my head is Steven Guskowski, who came in and replaced Adam Vinatieri in 2006. Right. And every third question to Steven Guskowski was, So what was it? What's it like following a legend? You know, and he was a guy who handled it pretty well. You know, granted he's a kicker, but you know he handled it pretty well. And I think Newton is going to have those questions, and it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with them, and you know what it all, you know, how it's all going to kind of come together in 2020. But I think you bring up a really good point that it's unique to be the guy who's going to follow Tom Brady and the challenge of kind of, you know, clearing your own path and creating your own legacy in New England.
Yeah, no doubt. And even on Bill Belichick's plate, because you can't tell me that he doesn't look at this as the biggest challenge of his entire career, because a lot of people think, and let's face facts. I mean, he got to coach Lawrence Taylor. He learned everything. He made his bones with Bill Parcells. Fair enough, right? And then he did what he's done in Boston, which is absolutely unequaled. I'm talking beyond anyone, and that includes all of them. Lombardi, all of them. He's surpassed all of them. Then people say, you know, because people are so stupid, and respectfully, they say, oh, Brady's the reason he won all those Super Bowls. And then I know in the back of his mind, that guy who's feeding them biscuits to that husky in his living room, that guy's going, wait till you see what I got for my last act. Because his last act in the NFL is going to be bringing the Patriots to glory. And if he wins another one, saying, no one thought I could do this without Tom Brady. Well, Tom, this one's for you. And raise that thing up one more time. Because believe me, you, I'm not putting anything past that dude. He's like... he's like Goldfinger, your boy, Belichick. He's the man.
You know what he wants to do, Scotty? You know what his goal is? He wants to bypass Don Shula for the all-time wins record.
Sure.
That's what he wants to do. That's, I mean, and obviously Super Bowls and wins and, you know, the week-to-week, you know, that's all part of it, and he still loves that, and that's still, you know, who he is. He's a teacher at his heart. I firmly believe that. But he wants to be the guy who surpasses Don Shula on the all-time wins list. He wants to be, you know, look, if he couldn't knock him off with a 1972 perfect season, you know, in 2007, this is probably, at least in his eyes, the next best thing. This is the best way to get that record. So, you know, it's not only wanting to win without Brady, and I think that figures into the conversation, although that's not the overwhelming reason. But I think really for Belichick, the singular pursuit at the end of the day, he continues to want to win Super Bowls. He continues to want to win just week to week, but he also wants to be able to be the guy who bumps down Shula down to second place.
He wants as well, like that, you know, that season when they lost to the Giants, there's no way that guy didn't think that he was going to do it. I think he thought, all along, he thought he was going to get every one of them, 19 of them. And what was it? Is that what it would have been? Weren't they 18-1 or something like this? What,
yeah, they were 18-1. Yeah.
So like, there's no way that didn't chew at him, because he had it. Like that was like, because the Dolphins didn't even do that. Right? There weren't that many games. Yep. So I think he actually thought he had it in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think across the board, when you talk to guys, like, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stories about that week and how they didn't practice well, and you know, they kind of took the Giants lightly, but, you know, I think that, you know, they thought they were going to be able to beat that team, you know? And so it's just, that's still, for me, that's still the most shocking end to the most shocking season, you know, at least that I've covered in the NFL. It's remarkable the way that all kind of played out.
It did not end well for you guys, but look, I mean, look on the bright side. It's like, the Steelers, I'm a Steeler fan, you know, so six times I've seen them win it, and I've seen them lose it a couple of times. Losing sucks. Yeah. I mean, I've been in championship games in my basketball team, and we've lost a bunch of them. We've won eight or nine, and we've lost eight, and losing sucks. It's just the worst. And I lost a game on a half-court buzzer beater, and I still, like, can't go to the bathroom regularly, and it was like 2 years ago. I mean, losing sucks. And there's nothing like losing when you're 18-0. That's crazy. Let me ask you some brief questions before I get you out of here. Bruins, do you think that they can turn the engine back on? Because they turned it off, and they were really the best team in hockey, and they turned it all off. Can they turn it on like Dustin Johnson did for those last three holes? Because one of the holes was bad. It's not easy to turn it off, turn it on, and think you're just going to be great again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a challenge. And I think one of the things you're going to want to really keep an eye on for them right out of the gate is how they perform in the early going. If they're able to kind of just drop right back into it, I don't think that they'll have a problem. But if they stumble out of the gate, you know, they're certainly going to be worth keeping an eye on. But I do think that they have the capability, top to bottom, it's a really good roster, it's a really good lineup. They have a lot of good young talent and a lot of really, really smart veterans. You know, guys like Chara. You know, it's a good looking roster, and I don't think that they would necessarily be inclined to be the kind of team who wouldn't be able to flip the switch once the games start again.
Carver, what do I got here? Do I got 90 seconds? I want to ask him about the Celtics. I got 1 minute, respectfully, Chris. The Celtics, they got four guys that can drop 20-plus on you a night. That's street lid where I come from. If I can get four guys burning for 20-plus, I can be in any game. Do they have a shot as a complete sleeper?
They do have a shot as a complete sleeper, but they have to have a lot of things break right for them. You know, this is a team that needs a little bit more out of their bigs. They're, you know, guys like Kemba Walker, they do get a lot of scoring punch out of that backcourt. You mentioned they get four guys who can drop 20 a night, but they need a little bit more across the board. I don't know, at least as we sit here right now, I don't know if they have what it takes to go deep into the postseason, but I do think they have the capability to make things interesting between now and the end of the playoffs.
Real quick, I got how much time, Carver High? Okay, I got 1 minute here. It's very important. I just got a note here from Carver High. Let me read this. Hold on. Let me grab it. Oh, here it is. Can you ask Chris if the Red Sox, did they really quit baseball altogether after they were caught cheating with their manager and he got fired? It says...
No, they did not quit baseball altogether. This is what they're calling up here in New England. Scotty, they're calling this a bridge year. Look, you know, This is going to be a bridge year for the Red Sox. So, you know, if there's a year that sets up nicely for them to only play 60 games, cut, you know, more than half the season out of the picture, this is the year for them. So, look, they're looking at 2021.
Yeah, the Bridge of Navarone is what it is this summer up in Boston.
Bridge to River Kwai, bridge to nowhere, right?
Wasn't there a bridge to Madison County too? I don't even know. Hey, Chris, you're awesome, dude. Congrats on all the success up there. You know, we'll catch up soon. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
I like that guy, Chris Price, with the Boston Globes. Say hey to McBride for me. There's a lot of people up there I like. It's unfortunate. You know, I just can't figure it out. Why is it that I like all these people from Boston when I hate them so much? It's a problem. It really is a problem. I don't want to get along with these people at all. All right, Pharrell on the bench coming up. Sports Rage with Morency. Check out Bagels and Bad Beats 5A with Scott Wetzel. And let's bring him in, Rageathon. Hey, so you told us today on Coast to Coast that you have this root, just rotting root, that they're going to dig out of your trap. And that's just agony. That's like a scene from a bad movie where, like, the mob pulls your teeth out, like, with a wrench, like in a back of a basement or something. And then you never got to tell me your reaction to the Pats getting Cam Newton, because I know you're all in on, like, Bills and stuff with Carver High, aren't you? Like, you got to be angry at some point. They keep getting all the good news over there.
Yeah, number one, thank you for reminding me that I have to go in the morning and get this this sucker ripped out. I'm deciding whether I want to be sedated or not, but I think I'll just man up. I'll get all numbed out and just rip it out. But as far as Cam Newton is concerned, I'm with you. I'm a big Cam Newton fan. I think the guy's great. He's done nothing but win. You know, he won a junior national championship in college. He won a national championship beating the Ducks, Chip Kelly and the Ducks. He made it to a Super Bowl Most Valuable Player. The dude's a stud. The Patriots got a steal. But at the same point in time, I like it because now the Bills are plus 160 to win a division. It'll probably climb a little bit. And I still think the Bills are a better football team this year.
Yeah, I think the Bills' defense is for real. You don't think you want to be on Dilaudid when they yank that thing out of your mouth tomorrow? Because, like, when I go in and have broken bone surgeries for basketball, like, I asked an 80-year-old nurse if she wanted to sleep with me when they put the morphine in me. Like, you got to go in and ride the lightning, bro.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it, actually. I was thinking, you know, do I really want to wimp out and say, yeah, just knock me out? Because I saw on their website, it said, for the uneasy, we have sedation options. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm very uneasy, actually.
No, listen, dude, you got to go in all in, man. Like, I'm here to float. Have a good show, Morenci. I'll see you freaks tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.